Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, it's time for Business Leaders of Today. Business Leaders of Today is presented by Tess Turin, Digital Account Executive with CBS Local, and Chris Horn, co-founder of Vocal Logic.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Business Leaders of Today. Our show introduces the sharpest and best business leaders around our great city of Atlanta, Georgia. I'm Tess Turin with CBS Local Media, your host, and I have next to me host Chris Horn, co-founder of Vocal Logic, who specializes in full-service custom business telephone solutions. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm wonderful. So how is the custom business telephone solutions business going for you?
Pretty good. It's kind of a mouthful, right?
Yeah.
We're actually working on some pretty cool stuff right now. Right now, there's an app out for iPhone and Android that allows you to encrypt phone calls. And we're actually trying to do that at a business telephone level. So hopefully by next quarter, we'll have that where basically all your calls going out of your business are encrypted. So we're kind of excited about that.
Very cool. Yeah. Very cool.
What about you? How things at CBS?
Oh, CBS is wonderful. A lot going on. Big data has pretty much taken over. All of our solutions is tied around that. So a lot of analytics, big data. Love it, though. Being a digital, turned into a digital technology, specialist myself. But been going great over there. Love it.
Very good.
We have an excellent show for you all today. Our guests in the studio include Tony Fountain from Intelligent Safety USA. How are you, Tony?
Good. Thank you.
Great. Thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure.
And we also have in the studio Tanya Burge, a.k.a. iGadget Lady from My Apple Gadgets. Good morning, Tanya.
Hey, good morning, Tess.
Can't wait to get into this Apple stuff with you.
I'm excited, too.
We also have Jim Ware from I Made This Incorporated. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thanks for joining us today. We also have Albert Gracia.
Yes.
From a Digital Safety Net. Thanks for joining us, Albert. We're going to start the show out with Tony. And so, Tony, tell us a little bit about Intelligent Safety USA.
Well, Intelligent Safety is a traditional security company. We offer video surveillance, burglar systems, fire systems, access control systems. We started out specializing in high-end video surveillance. That was our niche and our forte. And over the years, the customers have started asking for other things. And so now we're a full-service security company.
Wonderful. So when did you start the company, and what areas do you serve?
We serve all of Georgia, but through a recent relationship with a company called Field Nation. And our first national client demanded for us to create this partnership, so now we can actually service anyone in America. Wow. So we're very excited about that. The company was started March 1st, 2010. So we just had our five-year anniversary, which we were very excited about because most companies don't make it that long.
Yeah, congratulations.
Days. Thank you. We weathered the storm of the 2008 era, and we're very proud that the economy's turned around and we're taking advantage of all the work we did before.
That's a milestone for small business.
Yes, thanks.
Cool. So tell me what exactly Intelligent Safety specializes in, and like what's your niche there?
Well, I think that we're taking advantage of technology more than our competitors are. There's a big movement in the industry to go from the old wired model to a networked model. Everything is moving toward the network, digital-based solutions, and wireless solutions. So running wire is becoming a thing of the past. Using electrical, what we call four wires, is a thing of the past. You can run everything over the network. So what's great about that is it's very challenging, as you know, Chris, and I call on Chris every once in a while for help. The network is and routers and things like that are quite a challenge, and we think we have a grasp on that most companies don't have. So there's going to be a big merge here soon of the old, I call them the older wired guys that are part of the baby boomer generation are not going to be able to compete with us. Mm-hmm. So we'll be inheriting all their business and making the analog to digital conversion.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So can you explain the difference between like a reactive versus a proactive response and how you guys handle that?
Yes, reactive response is what the industry is used to. So you either get video surveillance and you supply it to the police, and they use that in the prosecution of a crime. A proactive response means that an event has been triggered, such as something breaching a virtual fence, or adding or removing something from an area, and then you get an alert, a notification sent to your mobile device. And if you're a security guard, or if you're the owner, or if you're someone who lives nearby, you can make a human-based decision based on the visual data that's coming to your mobile device, and then you can call the police and actually catch the crime in progress.
Wow. Well, you're listening to Business Leaders of Today with Tess Turin, your marketing and advertising expert, and Chris Horn, your business telephone specialist. And we are speaking with Tony Fountain from Intelligent Safety USA. You know, it's interesting, Tony. I'm sitting here thinking, you know, we have so many different industries on our show today, and they all are geared towards technology. I mean, it's just amazing. You know, every single industry now, I mean, technology is the forefront of their business. And if you don't embrace it, you're going to get left behind real fast.
One of the co-founders of the company was in counterintelligence with the Air Force, and his motto was, we have to stay on the bleeding edge of technology to be competitive.
Yeah, I could certainly see that. So what are some of your biggest challenges in the security business?
The biggest challenge right now is that technology component with respect to the customer understanding it. So we have our hands around it, but trying to get to them educated to understand it and how to take advantage of it and to not think that it's everybody else's fault when something goes wrong.
Sure.
You know, they need to understand what their network is like, how to manage their network, so they're not always blaming vendors or service providers for when things go wrong. They need to understand that they need an on-site technology person. So mm-hmm. The same way that we have to be on the forefront of technology, you as a customer need to understand technology as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, are you strictly, now I'm putting my marketing hat on here, of course, are you strictly business to business, or do you also service residential?
We have a small residential department, and I think that's going to grow as people begin to put more data drops in their house and things like that, and wireless networks, and the wireless products are coming more available. So that department will grow, but we are primarily business to business, mm-hmm. and our favorite client is business to business that is a B2B client.
Wonderful, wonderful. So tell us, what would be the best way for people to get a hold of you after the show, if they're listening right now that might want some more information about you?
Best way to reach us is just visit the website, and that's isafetyusa.com. That's the letter I-S-A-F-E-T-Y. USA.com. All the information's on there, and a link to our Facebook page, which actually has the most telling story of our progress over the last 5 years.
Wonderful. Well, thanks so much, Tony.
Thank you.
Next on the show, we have Tanya Burge, also known as the iGadget Lady. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Can you tell me a little bit about your website?
Well, My Apple Gadgets is a website that focuses on iPad and iPhone products and accessories. Basically, what we do, we give you great news, tips, and unbiased accessory reviews.
All right. And what made you want to start this?
Well, for years, I've had Apple products, my iPhone and my iPad. A couple of years ago, I decided to trade in my PC for a Mac, and I was all in at that point. And over the years, I've always had people approaching me, asking me tips about, or asking me, how can I do this or how can I do that with my iPhone? And I had it suggested to me so many times that you should do a blog or a website. And I decided to just, you know, go in and share that information and try to create a community where people could share ideas, share information, and get great news, tips, and reviews.
Okay. And basically, when you decided that you were going to do that, what steps did you have to take to get where you're at now?
Well, I went hands-on the entire way. So I was committed to building it from the ground up. So I had to go online and discover how to basically build the website itself, trending topics, find out how to utilize social media as well. So it's still a work in progress, but it's been a lot of just out there getting information. I mean, everything from building the site to marketing the site and building up a great social presence.
Well, you're listening to Business Leaders of Today with Tess Turin, your marketing and advertising expert, and Chris Horn, your business telephone specialist. And we are speaking with Tanya Burge, a.k.a. the iGadget Lady from My Apple Gadgets. Being an Apple consumer myself, I mean, I'm probably up to probably 7 to 9 Apple products in my house. I'm just counting off of the top of my head. I heard, I don't know where I heard it or where I read it, but I don't know if you've heard anything along these lines, but you know, Apple is looking to get in cahoots with Tesla. Have you heard this at all? I don't know if this is a rumor.
As far as the car?
Yeah.
Yeah, there are rumors out there. If they do, I mean, it's going to be years away, but
yeah.
There's always already a lot of excitement brewing just around the idea of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought that was really super cool if they could get into that,
absolutely.
You know, into that car business. So tell us a little about some of the new products that Apple is getting ready to launch.
Well, Monday the 9th, they've got a big Apple press event, and the heat and the fever, I mean, it's a fever pitch right now for the Apple Watch. I mean, so a lot of press is going around that as far as what are the features going to be, how much it's going to cost. There are rumors that they've got a high-end 18-karat gold Apple Watch that could run anywhere from $5,000
to $10,000. Finally. I've been waiting so long for that.
Haven't we all? I just can't wait to throw down $5,000. Entry-level models probably start around $349, they say, but there's a fever, of course, around the Apple Watch. You've got the Apple TV, maybe some things with that. The iPhone 6S and iOS 9. Those are probably some of the hot things coming out.
All right, what's the most fun? Like, what do you enjoy the most about this?
I enjoy everything from coming up with a story, having the input and feedback from people who are checking us out on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest. Probably the biggest thing or joy for me is just seeing what's new out there and being able to present that to my audience, because I like to think I'm a content curator. Mm-hmm. So I go out and I do the research so iPhone and iPad owners don't have to. So I can go to various news sources, things like that, and bring together all of, in my mind, what I feel are some of the best content out there, and then share that with the audience that I present that to.
All right. In 5 years, where do you see the site?
5 years, I would like to see it competing with some of the big boys like Macworld, you know, Mac Life. That's, you know, the vision of the future.
Mm-hmm. I like it. So give us, the people that are listening out there, give us some tips. Any good tips?
Well, actually, I just put out a post, 7 Siri tricks you didn't know your iPhone could do.
I need that.
You do. Because a lot of people don't realize the capacity of the iPhone in their hand. They don't take advantage of everything that it can do. One quick tip that I've got for you that you probably didn't know Siri could do. Maybe you did, but I don't know about you, but I used to have a crap load of alarms on my phone.
Oh, yeah.
Do you guys have a lot of alarms on your phone?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can ask Siri, just say, Siri, delete all of my alarms. She'll ask you, are you sure? And you can clear out all those alarms you've had. I had probably 20 different alarms at one point.
Yeah, yeah. Well, my son likes to use my phone in the evening and puts all these games on there, and constantly getting alarms on that kind of those apps. So, wow. Okay, very cool.
Yeah, I mean, there's like I said, you can go to www.myapplegadgets.com. 7 Siri tricks you didn't know your iPhone could do. There's always lots of great information on the site.
Well, give everybody your information if they want to go check out your site or want to get a hold of you for any reason. What's the best way?
www.myapplegadgets.com. You can go to the contact page to contact us. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Google+. All of that information is at the starting point, myapplegadgets.com.
Very cool. Well, thank you, Tanya, for coming in today. Appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. Thank you for having me.
And Jim Ware from I Made This Incorporated. How are you, Jim?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Very good. So what is I Made This?
I am a graphics design firm.
Okay, great. So what type of projects do you specialize in?
I mostly focus on branding small businesses, mm-hmm. whether it's rebranding or helping startups. I'm a small business, and so I like to help other small businesses succeed.
Wonderful, wonderful. Yeah, I mean, dealing with small businesses myself, I know, you know, a lot of times, you know, they need somebody like you, and they can't, or they don't always use a professional, and it really does show when their print information comes out or their website information comes out. What kind of advice can you give a small business that's, you know, getting ready to say, you know, put together a campaign, a print campaign? Because you do specialize in print, is that correct?
Correct.
What kind of advice could you give a small business? Well, besides hire you, right?
Right, right. Well, no, the biggest thing is whether it's me or any designer, you deserve it. You deserve to have your stuff look professional. And that's one of the biggest reasons to hire a designer. But also because we can help you think about areas you may not have thought about, looking at it in a different way. A lot of businesses make the mistake of, oh, I'm designing this to look good because I like the way this looks. It is your business, but it's not always about you. You need to make it functional for the client so that they can get it, so they can remember it. And so if you try to do something that's an inside joke or something that means something to you, it may not mean anything to your clients. And you really need somebody to look at that and go, I don't think people are going to get that right away, even though you do, because it's your industry. So you tend to get it and you think everybody will get this. Mm-hmm. But generally your clients aren't in your industry, you know.
Right.
So you need to do something that'll make sense to them.
So obviously I Made This as a pretty unique name. Can you give me the story behind it? When did you come up with the concept of I got this? It's I Made This.
Well, I started the business in 2009. And the short story is every time someone would see something I designed, they would say to me, oh, wow, that's cool. Who made this? And I would say, I made this. And so that's kind of, someone goes, oh, you should name your company that. And I go, oh, I think I will.
That's awesome.
I like it. Well, you're listening to Business Leaders of Today with Tess Turin, your marketing and advertising expert, and Chris Horn, your business telephone specialist. And we are speaking with Jim Ware from I Made This. So Jim, tell me, kind of getting into the services of the business, do you make logos? Give us some insight on really some of the projects that you've worked on in the past that you can, you know, brag about to us.
Sure. Hey, gosh, so hard to do, right? well, yes. Like I said, my main bread and butter, what I feel I'm good at and what I like to do is brand identity. So that means helping you come up with a look and feel for your business. So that doesn't only include your logo. It includes the way everything looks that you get printed or goes on the web. So creating a look for your business card all the way up to your website so that they're consistent and that everything can be not only identified by your logo, but by the overall look.
I'm reading you loud and clear, being in marketing myself. I mean, you certainly need that continuity within your marketing and your advertising, for sure. So let me ask you, let me back up. As far as local versus national, why would it be in somebody's best interest to hire a local designer versus somebody that's, say, out of state?
Well, the good thing about that is you can really, you know, reach out and touch them. So, like, if you need to get together and talk about something, and really, I have a lot of clients that are like, I need a face-to-face because I'm not quite getting what we're talking about in our back and forth through emails or even on the phone. You've got that. But also, I like to know about the businesses and frequent the businesses that I help out. So if I can actually go to your business and get a feel for what it looks like right now, if it's a storefront, or go and see exactly what it is you do. Especially, I mean, I don't always get what you do. You know, when you come to me and say, I need, you know, a logo, or I need some brand identity, I don't always get it. For example, you would ask me about one of my clients. My dad is a Harley Davidson man, you know, and so you would think I would be, but, you know, yeah, maybe when he gives me his.
Well, you definitely got the beard going on.
So I got hired by Harley Davidson of Atlanta, but I've never been to their location. And so I was thinking, okay, well, I can make it look like, you know, all the Harley stuff out there. But then I was like, well, wait a minute, that's not what they're going to want. They're going to want a logo that's specific to them. So I went and visited their location. And, I mean, you go to some Harley locations and they're all about chrome. You go to others, they're all very minimalistic. Well, these guys have a lot of, I mean, you walk into their shop and it looks like you've walked into a log cabin or into something, you know, so they're very...
rustic.
There you go, rustic. And so I tried to design something that fit that, that would, you know, not only the logo, but in the future when we add... to their collateral, that it has a feel for what their store is. So people, when they see their collateral and they walk into their store, they can have this sense of, I've been here before, but it's because of the collateral and not so much because they've actually been there. So it's kind of that, I'm trying to purposely create the deja vu effect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sounds like you might run into some of the similar issues that we do, like as doing phones, like anybody and their brother is doing phones. I mean, you Google business telephones, you're going to get a lot of stuff. I think that you offer something similar to us, as in, like, we care, right? So rather than just some, you know, because a lot of people do print, a lot of people do design, and if you send it, you know, if you go to some company and try to have them do it, they don't have that personal touch. You know, you don't know exactly what they want. And I think that, you know, the benefit to what you're doing to really local is that you like you said, you get that back and forth and you can really hammer down, like, okay, what do you think about this, and what about, you can throw ideas at them and it kind of feels like that you care, like you're a part of the process rather than just taking some requirements and then hoping for the best. Would you agree?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Again, with Harley Davidson, you know, when I walked in, I, you know, always, who doesn't think Harley Davidson is cool, but when I walked into their store, you know, I was like, you know, I was getting ramped up. I was like, oh, look at all this beautiful stuff, and drooling over the bikes and whatnot. But the same thing, for example, I also work with a local pizza shop in Duluth, where I'm from. And I was a fan of their pizza shop way before they became a client of mine. And so and that was a case where I did know the client and I did care about how they look. So when they came to me and they said, you know, hey, we want to rebrand. We want to really become more of a pizzeria rather than a local bar that serves pizza type of thing, I was like, well, okay, let's do this.
Well, it sounds like you're taking more of a consultative approach with your clients, which I'm sure everybody in this room can speak to. You know, the days of just, you know, wham bam are over. You know, you really do have to, you know, figure out, you know, what your clients' needs are before you can assess. And it sounds that that's what you do at I Made This.
Yeah, I really shoot for it. I really
Great. Am. Well, tell everybody out there that's listening that might need your services how to get a hold of you. What's the best way?
Well, as with everybody in this room, it seems, there's always the website, which is www.imadethisinc.com. And that's Inc. as in incorporated. Or you can just give me a call. I really don't mind. I do talk a lot, so be careful with that. But you can give me a call at 404-966-6363.
Wonderful. Well, thanks, Jim, for sharing all that great information with us.
Thank you, Tess, for having me on.
So Albert Gracia. Is it Gracia?
Yes, it is.
Okay, wonderful. You have a unique way of spelling that last name, Grassia.
Mm-hmm. Very
unique.
It's Italian.
Oh, it's Italian. Okay. Yeah. So Digital Safety Net. Tell us a little bit about Digital Safety Net.
Well, Digital Safety Net actually has a threefold approach when it comes to technology and business. We have a customized tech support. We also have data protection. And we also help provide identity theft protection.
Okay. A little birdie told me you're a hacker. Yes. Is that right?
Yeah, that's my fault.
You might want to go ahead and change your passwords. So okay. Everybody in the room.
Already compromised.
It's already compromised.
Oh, my goodness. You know, people advertise their companies as, I am a hacker. Mm-hmm. I hack.
Yeah.
So tell us what that's all about.
I actually describe myself as that, as a hacker. Whenever I go to events and speak in front of people, first thing I say is, well, my name is Albert, and I'm a hacker.
Awesome.
You know, get some raised eyebrows. But what I do is I actually go to businesses, and I do talks and consulting on helping people understand how they're vulnerable and why hackers are doing what they do and how your information is just a gold mine to, mm-hmm. to hackers.
Yeah, I guess hacker was once upon a time a bad word, mm-hmm. but I guess you need the good guys on your side that hack as well.
Absolutely. See, I'm an ethical hacker, mm-hmm. a certified ethical hacker, and like I said, I assist companies and businesses and, you know, just trying to understand what's vulnerable and how they can be open to attacks and ultimately, you know, with unfortunate circumstances can lose everything.
So give me... how are companies vulnerable to attacks? Like, can you give me an example of just kind of, you know, an off-the-wall example of how a company...
Sure.
Yeah.
Great example here. Recently had a company that contacted me. They lost $160,000, and this was to a virus.
Ouch.
A single virus had basically stolen $160,000 by creating a fake bank page, like a bank that they usually bank with, and they injected a couple of extra lines into the web page. So a person went to the web page, a person that still works for the company went to the web page. They entered all the typical information in, but then it was asking for what's called a FOB or a secure key on the web page. So they put in this information that they usually don't, and they didn't think much of it at first, and they thought, maybe I shouldn't have done that when everything was done. Well, 3 days later, $160,000 was wired out of that business account and went to another place that was completely untraceable. And that money is passed off to another person that they don't know each other's name. So there's plausible deniability there. But the reason why this happened was their computers were not updated. They did not have the most current updates or security support on their computers. So companies look at things like that and they go, that's going to cost a lot. But then you look at it and you go, $160,000, that cost way more.
Yeah, see, if they'd done that to us, they would have ended up with the $30 NSF fee. So really, I would have turned it around on them.
You would have showed them.
Right. So like passwords, right? Mm-hmm. That's a big thing.
Absolutely. You know, it's still unfortunate that a lot of people use password as their password or password 123. 123 love or... just very, very simple passwords. Now, one thing I would say is you never want to use a password that's basic, that you can find in a dictionary. Never.
What about, all right, so there's a lot of sites that make you change your password every 45 minutes, it seems. What's a good way to keep track of those? Because, you know, people like me, like, I've got pretty complex passwords. Mm-hmm. But if I have to change them every 90 days, it's kind of an issue. So what would you recommend as a way to kind of have complex passwords but not forget them or be able to use them?
Oh, that's a great question. There's a program that I use. It's called LastPass, LastPass, LastPass. And it's a really cool program. It's basically you have a single password that acts as a vault for all of your other passwords. So let's say, for example, you bank at a couple of different institutions, and then you've got passwords for Facebook, and then passwords for your email, and then password for your online bill pay. Well, you're doing all of that, but the program LastPass will actually use one password, and it'll unlock the vault every time you log into one of those sites. So it'll find that website specifically that you've stated to lock up, use that password, and allow you to access the website. So you don't have to memorize a lot of passwords, but it also sets parameters and guidelines on strong passwords and what's needed to help protect your information and your identity.
Jim?
Jim was asking if there's an app for that.
Yeah, there actually is. There's another program or an app you can use called KeePass, and those are useful as well.
Oh, interesting. Tanya?
Have you heard of 1Password?
Yes, 1Password is also a very good program to use. Very, very strong. It's very popular.
Okay.
I recommend that as well.
Do you feel like it's secure? Because that's what I'm using.
Yes, it is.
Okay, thanks.
Tanya just plugged herself. And nobody even knew it. Good job. I love it.
I don't own the app, though. I wish I could get a piece.
Well, you're listening to Business Leaders of Today, and we have in the studio with us Albert Gracia, Digital Safety Net, a.k.a. Hacker. I know Tony had a question for you, right, Tony?
Yeah, we're having a problem with Bitcoin operators getting on our local servers and using up our processing power. Do you have any recommendations for that?
Yeah, absolutely. I would definitely recommend installing a good firewall because they're basically utilizing... and also scan your computer for malware. Any kind of backdoor that may be open on your computer, or rootkits or things like that, that's where we come in. We actually go to these businesses and we scan and we do vulnerability testing and we check to make sure that computers are running at optimum performance for any company.
Okay.
Albert, the next one will cost you. Or I'm sorry.
Tony.
Tony, the next one's going to cost you, right, Albert?
Oh, yeah.
So what trends that are happening right now in the industry?
What's interesting you say that. Recently, you know, we've seen the Anthem breach, the news about the Anthem breach, and we, you know, there is up to 80 million Americans have been affected by this breach. That is 25%, almost 25% of the U.S. Census, according to the U.S. Census, 25% of the population were possibly affected by that breach. Basically, information, identity, things like that were stolen. You had Home Depot, credit cards, financials, things like that. Target, the same way. I mean, you know, you've got Jimmy John's, P.F. Chang's, Chick-fil-A. The list can go on and
it's
on
It's scary.
And on.
Yeah, between everything, like, especially with Anthem, like, I'm a pretty popular person now. Like, everybody's got my information. So,
it's...
that's crazy.
It's pretty crazy, but, you know, And I told this to a friend of mine before. I said, I've seen a lot of underground activity. Before the Anthem breach was announced, there was a lot of flurry of activity going on underground. Credit card websites, things were being passed, traded, sold. It's unreal. Well, I'm seeing that same trend again. And I think, and I don't know, but I really feel like it's going to be the retail sector that's the next big target once again. I mean, once, you know, we've seen Target, we've seen Home Depot, but I think there's going to be another breach soon that is going to make Target and Home Depot look like just a few.
I mean, and even Sony. Mm-hmm. I mean, that breach that happened with Sony. And I think I was listening to a program, I think it was this morning. Hillary Clinton is actually looking to put in her own server in her homes now. What's your take on that?
She actually did.
Oh, she did already?
Yes,
okay.
She did. And she gotten, well... it's kind of up in the air how people feel about that, but to utilize a private server for basically government work and things like that, it can be interpreted a lot of different ways. The unfortunate thing is that having a server like that makes you definitely vulnerable to all attacks.
Right, unless you have like your IT staff that's like sitting at your house making sure. Yeah, no, I think that's a slightly absurd. But what? Kind of threw me off there for a second. give me some examples of how companies leave themselves open to attack. Like, what are some basic stuff that people aren't out there doing that they're just getting hammered?
Well, I've gone to businesses in the past where I've been brought in and only talked to like top level management, asked me to basically find my way inside, social engineer my way, do whatever I can to get in, walk around and see what's vulnerable. One of the worst things you could do is leave passwords on Post-its. Right next to your monitor.
Under
CBS,
keyboard.
Yeah, CBS is really big on that. Mm-hmm. I'm not doing that. I mean, you can get in big trouble for that, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Leaving your terminals, leaving your workstations unlocked. Mm-hmm. Anybody can walk in and anybody can access. Print out something, delete stuff, and you're responsible for it if things go wrong. Always update your machines. Keep your machines updated. Don't ignore the warnings that happen in the bottom right corner of your machine, whether you're a Mac machine or a Windows machine. I love Apple. I absolutely love their products. I think it's starting to turn a corner a little bit where Macs are, in a way, will be vulnerable to some sort of attack or Trojan or virus or anything like that. Granted, they are far easier to handle than a Windows machine, but always keep your systems updated.
I wanted to add one little thing to that. Just because you see a notice, especially on a Windows machine, ask someone before you start clicking accept.
Well,
and yes.
That's a very good point. A lot of times we are in the habit of installing software and we just click okay, agree. Next thing you know, we've got pop-ups, we got browser issues, we got different things happening because we're just so quick to accept and install. But if it comes from Windows, I would go ahead and install it. If it's a Java update, install that. But just be very careful.
Wow. Well, you're listening to Business Leaders of Today with Tess Turin, your marketing and advertising expert, and Chris Horn, your business telephone specialist. And we are speaking with AKA Hacker from Digital Safety Net, Albert Gracia. So, Albert, tell the viewers or the listeners out there and us in-house, you know, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Well, the best way to get, there are two ways. One is going through my website. It's www.digitalsn.com. That's digital, the letter S as in Sam, N as in Nancy.com. Or you can contact me on an app that I'm currently using and I absolutely love. It's called Cyberdust. And it's really neat. You can send messages to each other and they're about 15 seconds long and then they disappear and they're gone.
And yes, I've heard about those apps. Mm-hmm.
And you can actually contact me by the username private_i. So.
Nice. All right. Well, I would like to thank Tony Fountain from Intelligent Safety, Tanya Burge from the iGadget Lady, Jim Ware with I Made This, and of course, Albert Gracia from Digital Safety Net. If you missed any part of our show or you'd like to be a guest on one of our upcoming shows, you can go to businessleaders.businessradiox.com. I'm Chris Horn, your business telephone specialist.
And I'm Tess Turin with CBS Local Media. Thank you all for tuning in and have a great weekend.